buckle up. It's showtime.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. The death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
It's debate night, folks. Debate night tonight.
In Boca. Not in Las Vegas. Not in Atlantic City.
I love the fact that people are trying to make this a knockdown, drag out fight. It's happening in Boca. Boca Raton, Florida. It's Reese on the Radio live right here on October 22nd, 2008, the end of an era, ladies and gentlemen. You know what happened 4 years ago today. It's over. 4 years ago today, it's over. That's the best that I can give you. It's the first day of the rest of my life. I can't remember exactly who said it. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. I know that's a quote, but somebody's going to tell me who that was.
I don't know who said it, but
it is a quote.
It's widely used.
It is widely used. Today is the first day of your life. This is the
first
second,
day of the rest of your life.
The first day of the rest
this
of your
the
life.
This is the second half. This is your second half.
That's right. My second half. That's right. I dealt with about 4 years worth of halftime. In fact, if this is exactly what halftime is supposed to be like, that means that the second part, that means that, Mary, for you and I, I'll be 82 when it's all over. Or, no, sorry, 80, no, I'll be 86.
You'll be 86?
Yeah.
80. I'll be 81.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you know now. I love you.
I love you, too.
Anyway, moving right along, it's Reese on the Radio again. We are back and we are live. It is 3 minutes after the hour on debate night in Boca. I'm sorry. I can't help but keep saying it's in Boca. You just can't have.
Boca Raton.
Yeah, Boca Raton. You know? Where some of our elderly go to spend the
or as the Hispanics call it, Boca Raton.
Yes, exactly. Where most people go to spend their twilight
and
years.
And a raton is rat.
Right. We're bringing a debate.
And boca is mouth. So.
Mouth rat?
No. Rat
mouth.
Mouth?
I did not know that. Is that what
boca
it is?
Raton. It's rat mouth.
Right. Is that like a
like yuck mouth?
Is that what you say to
no,
someone?
No, I'm just saying that's the translation.
Oh, okay. So I was just saying, would you tell them, you know, like somebody with bad breath in Latin would just. Oh, Boca Raton. Would you say it like that?
No.
Oh, yes. You need to move away. You have Boca Raton.
Oh, Lord. Oh, why did I even get you?
Yeah. Anyway, nonetheless.
What the hell was that, a donkey?
I always laugh like that. Anyway.
No, you don't.
I always laugh like that, but it's sinister in my view.
Okay.
Anyway, nonetheless.
The jester.
So, tonight's going to be foreign policy debate. A foreign policy debate between Governor Mitt Romney and President Barack Obama. Predictions. I know you're looking for them. I am looking for them myself. Libya will be the hotbed here today. So will Iran. But don't get too caught up on the Libya, the Benghazi situation. Don't get caught up in there. That will get heated. I believe that Bob Seifert,
the moderator from CBS, Face the Nation, will try to step lightly on this issue because he knows that it's coming the president's way. Schiffer might like a little bit. He might like the little, you know, tete-a-tete between the two. But when it gets out of hand, and it will get out of hand. Now, hopefully, I'll be then playing this audio tomorrow to tell you, see, I was right. Iran is the hotbed issue for most liberals, like Bob Schieffer. That is the hotbed issue. Bob Schieffer wants to pin Romney on the Iran nuclear deal. What will he do? Where will you strike if you will? Do you want to go to war with Iran? He will give President Barack Obama leeway to suggest that because they believe, liberals believe, that if they can tow that idea into the mindset of Americans, another war, but we hate war, that it will pin Romney against the ropes. Romney will shuffle. He'll try to dodge. I'm not saying I want to go to war. I'm trying to avoid war. But we've got to do something. Barack Obama's got no deal with Iran. He wants another 4 years to just capitulate. That's all he wants to do. If they get it, they get it. So what? What's the deal? You've talked to plenty of liberals in your life who say the same thing. Well, who cares if they get nuclear power? How do you know what they're going to do with it? Really? This country? This regime? Really? So that's what's going to be the focus here. Libya will not be a big focus. It'll get a little heated, but I promise you it will not get the attention that it deserves. The president will not be held accountable. Because Schieffer won't allow President Barack Obama to be pinned against the wall on this one and have to dodge and dip on questions. Mitt Romney will be forceful. But see, he's dealing with a problem here, folks. If he questions the President of the United States too harshly, and he should, don't get me wrong, it will be perceived by the press that he wouldn't let President Barack Obama come up for air. And that might be a problem for him. And a lot of knuckleheads will follow the narrative of the liberal press. Yeah, man, you know, he wouldn't let Barack Obama go. You know, what's so big? What's the big deal about this whole Benghazi thing? I don't know nothing about this, man. If I ain't heard about it, why is it important? Oh, man, I wouldn't listen to this, man. This ain't got nothing to do with what I'm talking about, man. The only thing I know about foreign policy is China and Jersey.
Oh my God.
That's all I know about foreign affairs. You know what I'm saying? It's China, Jersey. Maybe some Koreans. I don't know nothing else. But they're not going to be able to.
I don't think that Bob Schieffer is going to allow that to happen. I don't think that Bob Schieffer is going to allow President Barack Obama to have to fight his way through the Benghazi scandal. But Mitt Romney should press on, get answers, put that man in a position to defend himself. Now, some people are going to say, oh, well, Mitt Romney, he didn't give out any of his plans on foreign affairs because they spent so much time on Barack Obama and Benghazi. But that's because the left knows that if Barack Obama is forced to deal with that issue, if he's forced to, then he's lost. He's exposed as weak, inept, pathetic. I'll go with the latter on that one. I think he's pathetic. I think he's going to hurt himself badly. Because they're doing damage control over there in the Obama administration. They're doing damage control over there like crazy. And the reports, every time you turn around, somebody else is getting blamed for the failures. State Department here. Intelligence there. Folks, did the intelligence community get blamed for weapons of mass destruction? No! George W. Bush did. So
So why isn't,
why doesn't the same hold true for Barack Obama? That's your intelligence, Barack. That's your intelligence. George W. Bush had to deal with it. Remember, why did Bush listen to his intelligence community? They didn't know what they were talking about. Hey, morons. Bill Clinton, he listened to them too. When he said that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, but they just completely ignored that. They continue to completely ignore that. It's sad. That's exactly what I'm looking at the TV right now. This is what most knuckleheads think foreign policy is about. You mean 007? MI5? That's what foreign policy are you talking about? They know nothing about it. But I have predictions, and those are my predictions. China will be on there. That'll be talked about a lot. I believe that China will definitely be on the table a lot. Currency manipulation and the sorts. People will get bored there. They always do. The China discussion.
Because thinking about money and having to process all of those numbers and yada, yada, yada is too much for people. But if you talk about violence in Iraq and Libya and, you know, Lebanon and whatever, people will respond to that. They listen to that.
Let me ask you this, Mary. I think this is a good question, and I'll go to the phones in a minute. Let me ask you this. From the people that you know, because you know a lot of liberals, where you work, you know, the people that you socialize with, you know a lot of them.
Well, I don't really socialize with anybody, but okay.
Well, when I say socialize, I'm not talking about you go to bars and party with them or anything like that. When I say
no.
You have social relationships with them, acquaintances, if you will.
Oh.
A lot of them say exactly what it is that I say. All they talk about is like, oh, we don't want another war. And, you know, they immediately look at war. It's like, that's a bad thing. Oh, it's like, no, war. And that whole deal. Do you believe that every time Barack Obama tries to pin Mitt Romney on the possibility of going to war with Iran, that they'll believe he's like, yeah, man, you know, you need to tell us, man, we're going to go to war again, because if you don't go to war again, we ain't electing you. I mean, they weren't going to elect him either way, you know.
I think that regardless of your political leaning,
mm-hmm.
even for these leftist liberals, I think in their heart of hearts, they know that when it comes to Iran and nuclear weapons, there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Even the dumbest of the dumbs or the most uninformed of the uninformeders
right.
know that there are people out there that want to take this country down.
You know, we've
got people throwing, you know, Molotov cocktails off, you know, the third floor of the...
Well, the Virginia Mall, right?
Yeah, right here in Boston, Boston Commons Mall in Arlington, and that building, there's a crosswalk into the National Science Foundation,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, a huge government establishment.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, people know if we have to go to war with them, we have to go to war with them.
Right.
That's the bottom line. You know, is it people aren't going to say, no, I don't want to go to war. I'm not going to vote you in if we got to go to war, because they know that Iran is not joking. And I think that people would rather want to have somebody that's going to say, okay, you know what, I'm putting my foot down and this is how it is.
Right.
And put some sanctions on these people. Or whatever, however it is you're going to handle it. And if we have to go to war, we have to go to war and pray to God that we win. But, you know, I'd rather go to war than just sit around and wait.
But do you believe that your friends are anti-war? Do you believe that, I shouldn't say your friends, I apologize, your associates or people you socialize with, do you believe that they're anti-war?
I don't know.
Really?
I couldn't make that assessment. No. I don't know, because we never really... War, anytime I've ever spoken to people about politics, you know, they're liberals or blah, they don't ever want to talk about war. They want to talk about Obamacare. And they want to talk about Obamaphone.
Right.
And
Obamaphone?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm teasing. But they want to talk about Obamacare.
Right.
You know, they want to talk about those things and what Obama's going to do for them.
Right.
And, you know, what Obama ain't doing nothing for you. He
right.
ain't done nothing for you yet. What the hell you think he's going to do for you in the next 4 years?
Yeah, but they never ever, you know, they don't.
This round wasn't yours? Next one is?
No, they deal with Obama and Obamacare. What they deal with Obama is they believe that Barack Obama's doing things for, like, even if they don't see the actual results of Obama's policies,
mm-hmm.
they always say, but they're doing things for other people. And if you ask them on a personal level, how has Obama's policies affected you personally? They'll never ever, they can't find one thing that he's done that's affected them personally. They always attribute it to somebody else who they believe.
Well, no,
in their
they
own minds.
Can.
Really? I've never heard from one liberal who's ever told me how Obama's policies have affected them personally, and they always talk about how it affects others as opposed to themselves.
I
mean, you understand what I'm saying? Anyway, let's hit the phones. You know the number, folks, 347-308-8701. We'll be getting your predictions tonight on what you believe will happen tonight in the battle in Boca. Let's go to Dennis and our new contributor, Joe in Michigan, who's on the line with us, folks. Hello, gentlemen. It's been a long time.
Hello. Yeah, certainly. Well, you know, Reese, I have an announcement to make, and it may be shocking for you. I am voting for Mitt Romney.
What? What?
Yep.
Hold
the child has seen the light. I didn't say child. The man has seen the light. Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
Hold on. Before you say anything. Hold on. He deserves it.
Praise Jesus.
You deserve that. And I have to give something to the Obama administration for losing this young soul. Who I believe is brilliant for making this assessment
right
now.
I have something
now.
Else to tell you, Reese.
Yeah, hold on. This goes straight
this
to the
This is even more earth-shattering.
We're going to tell you afterwards.
The Obama administration.
Obama has now lost two voters.
Yeah, he lost.
We'll reveal the next one after this.
Yeah, but
then you know already.
Yeah, we do.
Yes,
we do.
Flippity floppity
whistling Dixie,
let alone Mr. Rabbit.
But this
are you
going to
be saying a certain whistling Dixie?
this goes to the Obama administration for losing two supporters today. Obama, this one's for you.
Ha ha!
That's just me personally. Just wanted to say that. Joe, now, you have got to come clean about how you came to this.
Well, Reese, it was when I was watching a third debate, and Mitt Romney posed this question to Barack Obama.
You mean the second debate?
In the second debate, rather. My apologies.
No,
the second debate, in the second debate saying, okay, you came into office with a $4 trillion deficit. The deficit is now $16 trillion. You've more than doubled it. Unemployment. Arguably, because California, the Census Bureau said that they skewed unemployment results, and that unemployment really is at 10.7%. The media is not reporting that. They're reporting that it's at 7.8%. But guess how much unemployment was when Obama took office? 7.6%. So we're still worse off now than we were when he took office. I looked at the figures, I looked at the facts, but what decisively kind of shook me was the national debt and how Obama said, or Romney said, sure, we'll give it to you. You inherited a national debt, $4 trillion. Now it's $16 trillion. And what do you plan about? How are you going to reduce it? What is your plan for reducing it? Obama evaded the question entirely because I view the national debt as being the biggest national security threat of our time. And
yeah.
I do not believe it is ethical. I cannot vote to put the existence of this country in jeopardy. I can't.
Joe, you're going to tell him two things. Tell him about the Pell Grants and tell him what happened when you got a certain phone call.
Oh, please.
Yeah. Well, regarding – and a lot of the scare tactics here on the universities, on the university campuses, they kind of go like this. Romney, Ryan want to cut your financial aid. Therefore, it scares everyone to vote for Obama. But, as I was reading, Romney and Ryan do not want to cut financial aid. They simply want to downsize it to help those who actually need it. So you're getting individuals right now who are on the pay scale, where their parents are making $85,000 to $100,000 per year, and they're still receiving FAFSA. That money could be used to someone who is of lower income, or someone who doesn't, you know, or someone who's of independent status, and they're making $10,000 a year. So as I began to research all of this, I began to think, well, you know what? Romney and Ryan would be better suited to helping the poor and the individuals who aspire to do greater things than the Obama administration would be. And these numbers just started to come rolling at me the more research I started to do, and I did research on Romney's plan. Brilliant. It's like it entails cutting taxes across the board by 20%. It's been statistically proven that anytime you cut tax, but by the way, Obama wants to raise the corporate tax rate. He's not telling anyone this. He wants to raise it by 44%.
Yeah, no, we know that. We know that. We've been saying that. We know.
It's funny because a lot of people who are well versed in Barack Obama's plans of economically, a lot of people have been talking about that. In fact, Bill O'Reilly talks about it often. About the corporate tax rate, and he has been saying often, you know, look, Bill O'Reilly says it's not like I'm not going to invest if indeed, you know, he raises it, but he's not going to invest as much. And he believes that it will affect other investors as well. I got to play this song by the Birds for you. I just got to do it. So forgive me real quick. It's just that I'm just so flabbergasted right now. I don't even know how to respond, but. This for me, it's this is your song. To turn on the Obama campaign.
Joe also wants to tell you what happened when he got a Obama supporter call from Obama headquarters.
Tell me what happened there.
I received a phone call yesterday night, actually. I was sitting at the table, and my cell phone rang, and I didn't recognize the number, so I answered it anyway, and I hear this voice on the other end say, "Why, hello," and they knew my name, and they said, "We would like to know if you would be willing to help us out in the Kalamazoo area from November 3rd to November 6th to get out the vote." And I said, "Well, I have to be candid with you. I was supporting President Obama, but I'm voting for Mitt Romney now." And it was like the polls shifting manifested in real life, right? It was just this disturbed, shocked tone. And they quietly said, "Okay," and we hung up.
Really?
Yep.
So, in essence, it was just because you're saying that you were supporting Mitt Romney that they just abruptly ended the conversation?
Yeah. And it was disturbingly, it was almost this, how could you turn against, you know, our leader kind of mentality.
Well, just like Chris Matthews saying it's unconstitutional to challenge Obama or ask a question.
And then the last I heard, we signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776, so
you know, look, I think listen, congratulations are in order, not just because you choose. No. Here's why. I want to make this clear. Congratulations are only in order for one thing, and that is because, look, Joe, and you've expressed yourself candidly on the air, on Reset the Radio, and we appreciate that. I've never, ever, like, I didn't berate you or beat you down. You know, I've let you filibuster on most occasions because I want to hear your point of view. But the one thing that you've always expressed is that, look, your opinion has been based on your own research. You go out there, you look for the information. You know, you agree with what you agree with, you disagree with what you disagree with, and you try to make an informed decision. You've always made that clear. We can disagree with what it is that you believe is the truth or facts or whatever, but you went out there and you looked up the information, you sought it out for yourself, you considered others' views, and you've made that decision. And no one wants to believe, and I'm sure that many people won't, maybe some will, they will say, oh, they brainwashed you. I don't believe that about you. I believe that, honest to goodness, that what you did was that you had real-life experiences that made you come to the decision, and that's what brought you to where you are today. And I appreciate that. That's the reason why I celebrate it. Because in this particular case, it was all about you. It wasn't about everybody else.
You know, and it was interesting to see this real-life dynamic played out, because after I had announced this over Facebook and I was talking about all the facts that I had found and how resounding this was. By the way, in case you didn't know, Vladimir Putin, Raul Castro, and Hugo Chavez just endorsed Barack Obama today.
What an endorsement. In fact,
yeah.
They made Honey Boo Boo look like a Rhodes Scholar.
So, you know, and it was disturbing to find out that by 2016, we physically cannot afford to elect Barack Obama. We physically cannot afford to. It's projected that by the time, now the debt's at $16 trillion. When he got in, it was $4 trillion. It's projected that it'll be over $30 trillion by the time we get rid of him, if he is reelected. And that's, America is voting for its own suicide if we vote for Barack Obama. Now that I've looked at these numbers, we are voting for suicide. And the American people and those people in Ohio that have been hit so hard by this, manufacturing base, who still haven't bounced back, better get these ideas through their damn head before they vote annihilation upon themselves.
Yeah, that's and funny. The fact is that Ohio, who has suffered the most manufacturally, as you just pointed out, that this guy is still leading.
Only by a point.
Well, only by a point, but, you know, I want to consider one thing. You know, NAFTA, which affected Ohio after the Clinton administration, you know, where Hillary Clinton in the 2008 debate was literally fumbling over responding to whether or not she believed that NAFTA was a good idea. She couldn't even endorse it, even though her husband had. You know, she literally fumbled the ball on that during the debate, which I believe hurt her and caused Barack Obama a lot of his electorate at that time. But look, I got to bring this guy on because I know right now there's a million things coming out of his mouth right now that he is trying to express. And that is Edward in Connecticut, who once he heard what you said, his number popped up on the screen. So I've got to bring him in. Edward in Connecticut, hello.
Hey, Reese, what's going on, man?
So what do you have to say to Joe?
I'm not really impressed because none of the information he's talking about is anything new. This information's been out there for quite a while now. So, I'm not going to badmouth the kid, you know, because he is experimenting, he is coming out, he is, you know, seeking information, but I'm not impressed the way you are.
You're not impressed the way that I am?
Fair enough.
No.
Wait, you're not impressed the way that I'm impressed?
I'll tell you why.
A complete 180 in a weekend. Come on.
This is a 360.
No, we'd be back in the same place. This is a 180 in 3 days.
In 1 weekend, and then next week he may see some more information about Romney that makes him want to go back to Obama.
I've researched it thoroughly, sir. And it's irreconcilable. Obama's answer during the second debate was irreconcilable. That's what prompted me to do further research. I got it from a lot of, you know, policy think tanks, bipartisan policy think tanks in Washington, D.C. I trust the soundness of my information, and I've never been more sure about anything, life, but I'm very confident about this.
You know, I don't want to disrespect you, but the thing is, I'm 40 years old. I've seen people in your, you know, position right now bounce back and forth and back and forth from one political position to the other. So I think it's great that you actually went on and sort this research and sort it out. You know, but I'm not really, like I said to Reese, I'm not impressed. I've seen young people go
so
back and forth.
So what you're saying is you accept it, but with caution.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. Okay. I mean,
well,
you know what?
Let me give you an example.
Yeah. I'll give you an example from my business and experience. You know, I've told you that I've worked with, I own some properties and I rent out apartments. Every now and then I get a Negro who will tell me, oh, I'm working on my credit, I got my credit up. You know, and then 2 weeks later, outside my building with a UConn SLT, you know, with a minimum wage job. You know,
really?
People always, yeah.
You know,
so what you're saying,
wait
a minute, Joe, what he's saying is then he'd like to accept totally what you're saying, but given his life experience, it leads to some skepticism, and he doesn't know you personally, but his experience saying that let's wait a while until we can fully accept this.
Well, you know what? And my response to that would be that's completely legitimate. Dennis responded in the same way at first, but you know what? This is what I plan on doing. I'm going to take a picture of the ballot, and I'm going to post it all over, so there can be no doubt who I actually voted for.
So I think this is a pertinent question, given what you've given us today, because for me this is almost groundbreaking.
Can I say something real quick?
Okay, go ahead.
Joe, you know, I'm sure everybody probably appreciates that gesture that you're going to take a picture, you know, of when you vote. I don't think anybody's questioning like who you're going to vote for. I don't even think that it's necessary that you do that. Hey, you did the research, you changed your mind. You know, I probably would proceed with caution just like Edward would. However, you know, you have to do what's right for you. It's your vote. You can do whatever it is that you choose to do with it. You have that right. And no one can tell you otherwise.
Right. I agree with that.
My opinion of taking a picture thing in a ballot, come on, that's kind of like a white guy saying, look, I've got black friends. I'm taking a picture with a black guy.
Oh, Edward, you could have been a little more clever.
Edward, if you don't give this guy a break. Didn't I tell you from the beginning Connecticut folks were finicky?
I've never seen you get like this, Edward, and I love
we're
it.
We're something else in Connecticut. Connecticut folks are something else. But you know what? I applaud you, Joe.
Jason was from New York originally.
That's right, it was from New York originally.
Get it right, Jason.
Is Edward going in the ring with Vince McMahon's wife?
I started, once again, really, as I'll reiterate, what turned me was that one question and Obama's failure to answer it. That prompted me to do research, and it scared me what I found.
Well,
but you know what? Let me say this. I don't want to cut you off, Mary, but let me say this, Joe. And I basically said the same thing to Stoltz there. I applaud you for being as young and involved in current happenings in this world, especially politically. I feel better knowing that you guys are into politics as you are and understand them and how they operate and how they work.
Right.
You
that
do your homework. And I try so desperately to get my son on board, and he is to a degree, because I feel better for my grandson's future, knowing that you guys are walking into this thing with your eyes open. As far as you switching over from Obama to Romney, that's his loss. I look at you as like a future Democratic leader. Because you stomped hard and vigorously for them.
Let me ask you this. And my original question to you, Joe, was I know you based your opinion just recently based upon looking up the facts and what you thought was a fiscally responsible vote. I think in this case you're being a fiscal voter here. But I have to ask you this, because I think a part of what Edward's trying to say, or maybe even ascertain from this, is we know that you are socially liberal.
Well, and we understand it, and that's you know a bottom line. But would are you saying that to some degree? Because I know you started conservative and you leaned liberal. Are you saying that you would be now considered what most call an independent? You're socially liberal, but you're fiscally conservative. Yeah, I mean, what would that be where you are today? Do you believe
or
that
a Massachusetts Republican?
Well, you know, to be quite honest, Reese, you know, looking up the Republican Party's platform, and I really do believe that the party of Lincoln, the party of equality, I think that the Republican Party has room for people like me in it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that there's room for people like me in the party.
Joe, if I can ask you, so I mean, you know, you said that you looked up facts, you looked things up, you know, you did your research, but when you were supporting Obama, you know, 3-4 days ago,
mm-hmm.
hadn't you done research then?
Great question.
Well, you know, to be quite honest, no. I was going off of, you know, platitudes. I read articles here and there, but it wasn't, to be quite honest, I can't lie and say that I did. I read, like I said, I read a few articles here and there, and that's, you know, how I formed my opinion. I was far more informed, I find, even a few years ago, 4 years ago. Dennis alluded to this, but I actually worked for the Romney campaign in their primary, and I met Mitt Romney in Southfield, which is, you know, there's a university called Lawrence Tech, and I shook his hand and I talked to him for a while, and I guess I kind of lost that memory. I got caught up in the whole Obama wave, and I'll admit that mistake, but...
Was it because, you know, you felt like you were doing a part, your part to, you know, pay tithes to the black people by voting for him or by, I mean.
Well, to be quite honest, I've never seen the sense personally, with the Affordable Care Act, the unemployment rate, you know, the tax base is shrinking so dramatically. Now I see it, but I just never really wanted to recognize that, wait a minute, these numbers don't add up. And
so you were just blinded. I mean, because the numbers have been there, you know, and I think,
right.
Again, that leans towards Edwards' hesitance.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe I'm going to give
it changes things.
But it
changes things when you actually see the candidate. When you actually see the two head to head, it changes things. When a candidate can't answer a question, it really fundamentally changes.
Well, did you not see? Okay, so Joe, with that answer, you said this. You know, your turning point was in the second debate. Did you not watch the first one?
I did. But
Obama
then again,
barely showed up.
I mean, ouch! That was whoa.
Yeah, but remember what he said was. Remember, it, and I believe that Joe is saying here that in a lot of ways.
And I'm not trying to Joe. No, by no means am I trying to challenge you and trying to whatever. I mean, these are just questions that I.
Right. No, I mean the first debate didn't resonate as much with me because.
Okay.
You know, what he was saying, you know, fluff, 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 and fluff, 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 and yeah, I thought, oh, well, poor Obama, you know, but. But it wasn't to the point where he just blatantly ignored a question. He did poorly, give you that. That's common knowledge. He blew it. But it wasn't to the point where he completely disregarded a question. The second debate, not that it mattered in my eyes whether he was hostile or not, but the simple fact that he couldn't answer the most fundamental question in this race right now about the economy, which is the national deficit, and he completely avoided the question.
But you know what?
And
but
it
you
shocked
say
me.
That, Joe, you say that he completely avoided the question about the economy. He's been avoiding questions about the economy
for
his entire term. I mean, he hasn't had a balanced budget since he's been in office.
But here's the thing. Here's what I'm saying. I physically
saw it
happen.
Did that happen right in front of you in order for you to see it?
Correct. It physically – but I think that's – look, you know what this huge shift is occurring right now. And people are seeing this in front of their very eyes. It took that, yes. I'm going off of my personal experience, it took this for people to finally get it.
I hope that there are a lot of other people out there, and I honestly believe that there are a lot of other people out there that are really shifting to the other side, because I think that this whole Libya thing really has awakened people. The fact that our country is we're in danger as a country, not only economically, but, you know, physically.
Physically?
Yeah, I mean.
You know, I also ran across
kill us at any time. They're throwing bombs every, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
They're trying to blow up the Federal Reserve in New York.
Yeah.
I mean.
You know, I also ran across a clip which I wasn't too aware of. I heard some, you know, rumblings about it, but it was a clip between Barack Obama and Dmitry Medvedev of Russia. And Barack Obama.
The flexibility pay. The flexibility.
Yeah, where Obama says, I'll be able to be more flexible next time.
More flexible after the election. And so, you know, I just, wait a minute. What can he do now that would compromise his election that he can do after the election when there's
what,
no consequences?
Can I ask you, and I don't mean this to be rude, Joe, but what rock do you live under? Because that was all over the news. And you
the
feel
Democratic
like a
rock.
Guy that watches the news.
I didn't see it on the news.
That's how you presented yourself.
He didn't even know the Detroit Tigers won the championship.
I don't pay attention to that. So
he didn't know they won the pennant. Hey, I know every one of us is getting you crap, Joe.
No, but you gotta give the kid a break, because all he really follows is liberal media.
The host of the show, listen to me. I celebrate you, Joe. I'm celebrating you with music.
I do too.
I celebrate you. Do you understand that? I have the heavenly choir singing your praises. You understand that, Joe? I know everybody else is right, but you're a part right now. You have joined. You and I, we are sitting right now. You and I, we are there. You did the one thing that I've always wanted everybody to do: to go out there and get the research for themselves. Heavenly choir, sing.
Now, if you can just only go out there and teach that to your black friends.
That's right. Exactly. You have black friends
well,
in Detroit. Reach out. Tell them.
I've actually already.
From the
yeah.
radio, a black
hey,
conservative
Reese.
From
he's
New
got
York.
He's got something
who
else to tell you. More groundbreaking.
I've
hold
actually.
Your shit, he's got to tell you.
I've actually. There was this individual who was in a roommate, a friend of my roommate's who was in my room last night. And I was in the middle of looking up more facts and figures. I had pretty much gathered everything that I needed to make my decision, because I had made it roughly 2 days ago after doing some extensive research. But I was gathering more and more facts. And the kid came in, sat down, and the topic came on to politics. He's half Asian and half black. And I said, so who are you voting for this election season, John? And he said, oh, of course, Barack Obama. I said, why? He said, oh, because, you know, he's black. I said, wait a minute. So if I were to say that I'm voting for Mitt Romney just because he's white, would I be a racist? It's like, oh, yeah, you would. I said, wait a minute. So why are you a racist, John? It's like, well, because black men have a pride thing. So white men can't have a pride thing, John? And then he remained quiet. And I said, what do you think of 10.7% unemployment, John? I mean, I know you're in college right now. We all are. Wouldn't you like a job when you get out of college? And he sat there. I said, what about the national debt, John? I mean, it's $16 trillion. It was $4 trillion when, you know, the hated Bush left. What do you think of that, John? I mean, it's decreasing the value of our dollar. Moody's international credit rating lowered us. We're no longer as safe as we were to invest. Have you ever heard of the Greek debt crisis, John? And I went on to explain to him that. And I rattled off all of these facts, and he just sat there in silence.
I'm talking about the other one, John.
John.
Joe. Yeah, the professor.
Oh, yes. I had talked to her as well. And she was shocked that I had announced to the my English literature class that I was voting for Mitt Romney, because we had to look up articles about the presidential election. And she was surprised to learn that I shifted. And I talked to the class about all the economics, all the facts and figures, et cetera, and they both, all of it, by the end of the hour, everyone came to the conclusion that Obama's presidency was a failure. Okay? But what the professor said was she could not consciously vote for Mitt Romney because he would limit reproductive rights for women. And she said that's going to trump, you know, the interests of the country. Because you would rather vote for your own reproductive rights, or what you view as your own reproductive rights, or, you know, what your misconceptions about Mitt Romney's position on that, then to vote for the broader interests of the country.
Of course, her answer is yes.
I'd like to know, how does her female genitalia trumps my wallet?
Hey,
I use a different word for Joe, but I'm not going to say it on the Reese on the radio show.
Go ahead, Reese.
I got a really quick comment. You know, you played all that nice gospel music when you were, you know, acknowledging Joe's turn. But don't you think the same thing happened when Jesus hugged Judas? That there was all this nice gospel music playing, and then Judas.
That was the Moody Blues.
You are not comparing. Listen, Edward, do I have to play this song for you again? Listen, by the Birds. Great group. Remember them?
Okay, all right. Now I'm doing nuts.
Wow.
Hey, Reese, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell you.
You got a what?
I've got a bridge in Brooklyn I want to sell.
Oh.
I want to sell you. Okay, let's move on. I got everybody. This is a great question. I don't know if anybody's been to Drudge Report today, but there's a story coming out of Politico today. Okay? You know I love and live for every 4 years the October surprise. Now, this story, I don't know what it is or what it's about.
News.
Donald Trump said on Fox and Friends, of course on the Fox News channel, that he'll reveal very big news about President Barack Obama on Wednesday, but declined to give any hints about his plan. He says, quote, something very, very big concerning the President of the United States. It's going to be very big. I know one thing. You will cover it in a very big fashion, unquote.
If I didn't know any better, I'd think he was talking about his hair.
What could
There's
he...
something else, Reese, that
oh,
might
is
be of connection.
Perhaps the birther question.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Now, Reese, who was mostly in Boca Raton? What ethnic group would you say?
I'm going to go Cuban or Jewish?
Jewish, all right?
Okay.
Now, don't tell me this is not going to come out tonight. This comes from the Times of Israel. This is today's story.
Uh-huh.
And you remember the Arab Spring? Who did we get rid of? Mubarak.
The Arab Spring, we got rid of Mubarak.
Mubarak Gaddafi.
And Roosevelt would say, he might be a son of a bitch, but he's our son of a bitch. But
exactly.
That was lost on Obama.
Right.
So, here's the headline from the Times of Israel. Egyptian TV shows president in fervent prayer as cleric delivers anti-Semitic address. Morsi mouths, amen, as Egyptian preacher urges, quote, Allah destroy the Jews, close quote.
I did see that on Drudge Report today, that Morsi mouthed amen when the Muslim preacher made that proclamation. Which I thought was extremely interesting that he would say amen.
So the question is, do you think this will be brought up by Sheba tonight?
No, I believe that.
Of course not. We know that, but I just wanted to hear the confirmation.
No, he'll ignore it. Listen, Bob Schieffer is not going to do, as much as he claims that he does, hard-hitting questions or really. I mean, the last time I ever heard Bob Schieffer give anybody on the Democratic side some guff was when he grilled David Axelrod and I can't even remember. I don't know why it's escaping me now. But he was talking about, I think he told David Axelrod, is this the best you got, when talking about Mitt Romney and talking about the Republicans. And for some odd reason, it escapes me. But it was a really, really, it was a simple thing about some tax thing with Mitt Romney.
Reese, the disturbing news in Drudge from the Investigative Project on Terrorism? A year-long investigation by the IPT has found that scores of known radical Islamists made hundreds of visits
to the
Obama White House, meeting with top administration officials.
Yeah, and again, if Mitt Romney doesn't address that, if he doesn't bring it up, because this is a national stage, this is going, if this debate, I'd be stunned tonight. If this debate doesn't get what the first debate got 67 million, right? And the number keeps fluctuating to 70 million. But if it got 67 million, at least that's the last reported. If this debate, which everyone is talking about, doesn't get more than that, Mitt Romney, who I believe knows that the numbers are going to be larger as far as the national audience is going to be, if he doesn't bring that up, if he doesn't challenge Barack Obama on each and every one of those questions, even if it's not asked by Bob Schieffer, I'd be stunned. Because this is an opportunity to put Barack Obama on display. And you make
everyone. And somebody called me an hour ago.
Yep.
And said to me, well, will they be talking economics again? What the hell does economics have to do with foreign policy? And they couldn't understand it. And it was like talking to the wall.
Well, with the exception of...
Well, Romney could easily say our national debt, China, tied into manufacturing
right.
in Ohio. It's very circular in that regard. So it can be easily done. But what I think, I mean, if you look at the recent polls, and I've read a report on Politico, which leans toward the left, they said, if the trends keep going this way, because progressively Obama's losing, Romney's gaining ground. He's already taken Florida, he's already defeated
North
Carolina. He's making ground in Ohio. It's a tie in Ohio. New Hampshire, it's fluctuating, but fluctuating up Romney. Iowa, tie. Colorado, up Romney. I mean, I firmly believe that if Romney does well tonight, he will win the election. Because
Excuse me, guys, we're pushed up against the clock. Reese, were you going to make a certain Dixie announcement before the top of the hour or during the debate?
What's the Dixie announcement?
Justin.
Oh, yes. Well, my nephew, Justin. Justin's stupid.
After talking a half an hour with Joe, this is what did it, I think.
Well, the fact is that Justin has now also switched his vote and is supporting Mitt Romney for president of the United States after constantly ripping apart Mitt
Romney. He was going to make the announcement on the show, your show.
Is he
going to
make
the announcement
on my show?
You faded. Come again?
Is he going to make the announcement on my show?
I don't know. He kept on saying, I've got to talk and make the announcement on Reese on the radio, and it was going to be a joint announcement, you and him and Joe.
Oh, well, then he has to get in touch with me that he's going to do it, because I tried to watch his video today, but there was no sound.
Oh.
So I tried to listen to it, and I got nothing. But that's okay. He'll get an opportunity to do it tomorrow or this week, and we'll definitely get that done. Last thing, guys, I want to make sure that I reiterate this, and that, pardon me for one last second, guys, I just want to... put you guys on hold. I want to make sure that everybody knows. And I want to thank Dennis and Edward specifically for doing this. And I'm sure so many people who find out this now will do so tonight. And JC, if I can get JC on the line here, because he and I can discuss it before we get off the air, because the debate is about to begin. We're only doing an hour show today. JC, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Now, are you telling me that tonight that we can start our first video of Reese on Radio TV?
I'm putting the very finishing touches on it right now.
Okay. Finishing touches on the video. We are going to do, at this point, we're probably going to do it weekly for about a month until Mary tells me that I should, I can start doing it more than once a week. Mary's going to be the catalyst or the arbiter of how many I do a week. But Reason Radio TV is launching tonight. What time do you think we'll be able to launch it tonight?
I want to say really within a half hour.
Really?
Probably within a half hour.
Let's launch it after the debate.
Okay.
All right, we'll launch it after the debate tonight, which will be 10:30 tonight. It shouldn't be any later than that. 10:30,
right.
Our video.
Right.
Which will be, it's only a minute video, so it's going to be our introduction. Most videos will run for about five minutes or so, but we'll get this thing down and ready to go soon enough. And we'll do it once a week. We'll do a couple of videos. It's going to be my own little newscast, if you will, on some of the stories that are in the news that I find funny, political, and ridiculous. And JC's doing all the video on it. It's amazing stuff, especially the stuff that he's been able to do. So I appreciate JC, of course. He's the producer from hell. And I say that in a good way, because he's literally, as they say in the hood, when mama makes good food, he put his foot in it.
No, I appreciate that, but you know, I'm like I said, I'm it's not something that I ever really got into before, as far as like making music video and trying to produce it for TV. But what I've been able to, and I've dabbled before as far as making like 30-second commercials. So I did that for my wrestling company when I run my wrestling ads up here on cable. But we're talking about, you know, adding all the little tiny elements, and that makes TV. Learning all that has been fun for me. So I'm dabbling, and give us a break. We're coming out to
yeah,
get
give
this
us
up,
a break.
This
it's our first, video, but I think you'll enjoy it.
I can assure you, and I'm not trying to like shoot it down before it gets started, but it will definitely get better as I learn more and more of what you know my program's able to do.
Well, JC has been phenomenal for the stuff that I've done, test runs we did yesterday and the day before. It's been amazing. We'll talk about this and more, of course, as the debate comes up. With our last 2 minutes, we'll go back to Edward, Joe, and to Dennis. Guys, last word. Who do you think will win tonight?
I hope Mitt Romney. I think that he's got the energy, and the only thing he needs to do is come out strong tonight, and he has the election.
Dennis, what about you?
Every poll, and I normally don't follow polls, but every poll has Obama either losing or staying steady. He's not gained. While on the opposite, because of the debates, clearly Romney has either stayed steady or moved forward. So
how
you're going
you,
to see Romney
Edward?
Is going to end it, because you don't become a CEO by being Mr. Milquetoast like McCain was 4 years ago.
Edward, what about you?
If Romney is able to bash Obama's records, then he's going to win. But if Obama's able to turn this into a coon fest the way the vice presidential debate went, he's going to win.
Couldn't agree more. All right, folks, enjoy the debate tonight. We will, of course, discuss and have analysis tomorrow. And hey, let's play a little Busta Rhymes, I'll Hurt You, for Mitt Romney. This is the perfect song. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Reese on the Radio. Same bad time, same bad channel right here on Blog Talk Radio.
AmericanRadio.com.